On the second page, it says, Avodas Hashem b'Shabbos. Then we learn a few more pieces from the Avinazer, together with the Shem Shmuel, his son. Bereishis HaMaimer Mazbius HaGemara. Gemara says, Avodas Hashem b'Shabbos. Bereishis HaMaimer Mazbius HaGemara, Ilmolei Chotu, it's on page Mem Zayin. Il mole chotu Yisrael lo nitin lehem ela chamish yechum she terer b'seif Yeshua b'levad. Yeah, sure. The Gemara says something which has been the subject of many, many discussions in the Svarim. As far as from Hapsaldik, almost every piece of Hapsaldik, he brings this Gemara up. The Chazal say that if the Jewish people had not sinned with the Egel HaZav, with the golden calf, then it would have only been necessary for them to have the chamish yechum she terer, the five books of Torah, and say for Yeshua. Chazal say, we wouldn't have needed, it sounds like when you read the Gemara that it wouldn't have been necessary to have all 24 Svarim of Tanakh. And besides that, it sounds like it wouldn't have been necessary to have the whole Torah Shebaal Peh. And the Gemara there brings the pasuk from Shlomo HaMelech, Kibarov Chochma Rav Kas, Yosef Das Yosef Machov. Rav Chochma Rav Kas means that the reason that we need more Chochma, that the Chochma of the five books of Torah is not sufficient, the reason that we need Rav Chochma is because of Rav Kas, because we're in a state of Kas, that Hashem is angry with us. We're in Golos. Or Hashem is angry because of the Chet Egel, the sin of the golden calf. And because of the Kas, there's a need for Rav Chochma, more Chochma. But ideally, it sounds like the simple Pshat in the Gemara is ideally, Chumash would be enough. Say if you're sure that's because of Arkish Laritz Yisrael, because of the Gabulus of Laritz Yisrael. But the Chamish Yechum She Torah would have been enough, and we wouldn't need the other Svarim of Tanakh, and we wouldn't need Torah Shebaal Peh. So he explains immediately, V'ein ha-perish lo ha-hisa li Yisrael Torah Shebaal Peh. Chas v'sholom l'armakein. It can't be. Chas v'sholom to say that the meaning of this is that the whole Indian of Torah Shebaal Peh is only because the Jewish people because we made the mistake of the Chet Egel, and if not for that, we wouldn't have to have a Torah Shebaal Peh. He says, Chas v'sholom l'armakein. Chalila to say such a thing. He Torah Shebaal Peh, he p'nimi is Torah Shebachsav. You can't say such a thing, because the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, is the inner essence, is the inner core of Torah Shebachsav. It's the neshama, it's the soul of the Torah Shebachsav. And not only that, v'lo yitachen zu b'li zu, and one can't be without the other. And if he wouldn't have the Torah Shebaal Peh, you wouldn't know how to put on film, you wouldn't know how to chef, you wouldn't know how to get married, you wouldn't know how to get divorced. We wouldn't know how to do, we wouldn't know a mitzvah, we wouldn't know how to keep Shabbos. We wouldn't know what Yontif is. We wouldn't know what a Lulav is, what an Esri. If not for Torah Shebaal Peh. So it can't be that Chazal are telling us that it wouldn't have been necessary to have Torah Shebaal Peh. Ela ha-perish, the meaning is, the chol tayag ha-mitzvah su-protein, kulan nirmozos ba-aseres ha-dibris. The meaning is that all 613 mitzvahs and their protein and their details are all nirmozos ba-aseres ha-dibris, are all hinted at already in the aseres ha-dibris, that Rashi brings down, Reb Sadigo brings down, that in the aseres ha-dibris, they are hinted all 613 mitzvahs, and all the explanations of all 613 mitzvahs. So you ask a question, what do you mean? 613 mitzvahs are in the Aseret HaDibros. When you look at the Aseret HaDibros, you see tefillin or something in the Aseret HaDibros. What's the 613 mitzvahs? Yeah, the Reb Sadigon has it before he already was working on it. What kind of 613 mitzvahs? And not only that, but b'chol pratei and all the halachas. That's why you see that Rishonim composed piyut. They composed liturgical poetry, I suppose it's called. I don't know. They composed poetry showing how in the Aseret HaDibros, woven into the Aseret HaDibros, there are the halachas of Torah Shebaal Peh. But what the Rebbe is saying is that in that state that you don't see when you see the luchas, you don't see those halachas. It's beheld and behesder. It's concealed and hidden within the Aseret HaDibros. Ve'oz v'shas matan Torah, kishahoyu Yisrael betachlus ahizdakakus, and then, by Maimed Har Sinai, when we came to Har Sinai, and the Jewish people were in their greatest state of purity, of hizdakakus, they were in their greatest state of refinement and of holiness, ha'yuroim ba'osan teva shel hadibros kol ha'remozim mikol ha'mitzvos l'kol protei protein. Then they were able to see, when they were able to see how all of the mitzvahs and all of the halachas protei protein were all hinted at in the words of the Aseres Hadibros, were all hinted at in the words of the Aseres Hadibros. Let's use a very, very silly example, but I think it makes the point. If you're attending a lecture, you're at a lecture. Let's say Lahavdil's not a Torah lecture. Well, some kind of a lecture place. And you're listening to a lecture. Now, if you come to that lecture very tired, right? You're very exhausted, you're overworked. And let's say especially you didn't even want to be there. You didn't want to be there to begin with. Someone told you you have to be there. They sent you there. So you listen to the lecture. So you know that you hear the words of the lecture. Maybe because you were able to absorb the content of the lecture itself. But there's somebody else at the lecture who this is like he's really, really into it. He's really excited. He really is excited. And he was all prepared, and he comes in, he's well rested and so on. That person, of course, will be able to have all kinds of diyukim, will be able to see and read all kinds of things in the words, even if intellectually you're ahead of him. But since the person is excited, is interested, and is aware, in other words, lahavdil, he's purified and prepared for that lecture, he'll be able to read between the lines and to hear all kinds of things that you didn't hear. You say, I didn't hear that. I didn't realize that. Really? No kidding. You can give a kid in high school, you can give a kid in high school the most beautiful poem in the world. And he looks at it and he says, you know what? I don't know. And you say, do you see? And the kid will say, what? Do you see this poem? What is it? I don't get it. Who's this guy, Shakespeare, anyway? You know what I'm saying? What's the you show him a sonnet, he says, what? There's no big tradition here. But you give the same kid some stupid song from some drug addict, and he tells you, did you hear this song? And I said, what's in the song? He's all, you know, he has all kinds of remozim and hints and things. And so now, lahavdil alaf alfei havdalos, right? Lahavdil alaf alfei havdalos. When the Jewish people came to Har Sinai, and we were spiritually refined, and the zuhama, the impurity of the nachash, of the snake, had been removed, had been temporarily removed. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, when you heard the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we said, oh, you meant Azoi. You know, you mean this, this means this. In other words, it's all there, it's all in the words. It's all encoded in the words. It's a question of if you're able to see. So now they see, nowadays we know that if they put a computer to the Torah, then there are so many things that are there. And then you said to yourself, how come I couldn't see that? When we used to hear a shiur from Rav Soloveitchik, Olav Shalom, the feeling that you had after you heard the shiur, I can't believe I didn't see that. That's a sign of a gavaldig shiur. Right? When it's not so clear, you say, okay, it's a diuk. But when you hear a shiur and it was really a great shiur, then you say, that's what it, of course, that's what it was, that's what it is. Right? That's what it is. And how come I didn't see that? It bothers you. That I didn't see that. Because the truth is, that it was there all the time. That it was there all the time. But you were lacking in a certain histakikus, in a certain level of purification or refinement. So you couldn't see it. You couldn't. Things you already know, but you're right.
To remind you what they already know when they...
But here it's something else, Jonathan. We're not talking about something that you know and you may have forgotten, or you may not be paying. Here it's more than that. Here you could be staring something in the, you could be staring something in the eyes. You could be looking at it. But if you're not, if your mind is not geared towards it, they have these certain interesting things. My kids once brought from somebody a whole book where you look at it. Illusions. And when you look at it, if you look at it carefully, then you begin to notice that there's a certain picture, and the person that has seen the picture can see nothing but the picture, and the person who hasn't seen the picture thinks you're crazy. They think you're out of your mind. That's not there. What, there's a picture of an airplane over there? A guy going to the air. What is it? So it means that there's a certain way, you know, that when you're, that, what was it? There was a great artist that said, He had made a statue of an elephant. He had sculpted an elephant. And it was with every detail. It was amazing. So somebody was admiring him and said to him, how did you do that? So he said, it's very simple. I just took away everything that didn't look like an elephant. I just cut away whatever didn't look like an elephant. And then, eureka, you have an elephant. So it's a joke because we can't do that. So we know what an elephant looks like, and you try to cut away what doesn't look like an elephant, and it doesn't help. Because there's a certain way to see something. So what the Rebbe is saying is that everything is really there. The whole Torah Shebichsav, in the written Torah, or let's use what he was saying from Rashi, that in the Aseres HaDibros, it was all there. It was all there. It was just that we didn't hear it. We didn't see it. Now that's what happened to the Egel. And the Gemara says, if we wouldn't have sinned with the golden calf, it would have been enough for us to have the written Torah. So the problem was, what happened as a result of the Chet to Egel, we're going to learn a great principle of Torah over here. A very, very important principle of Torah. That because of the Chet to Egel, our vision became blurred. Our minds became dimmed. Our spiritual sensitivity was dull, and because of that, we didn't chav. We just didn't chav. We didn't hear it anymore. We didn't see it anymore. How the entire Torah Shebaal Peh is really in the Torah Shebichsav. Haisat so ilmale chotu be'egel. If we wouldn't have sinned with the egel azav, haisat Torah Shebichsav kol kach mi'ira lefneihem. If we wouldn't have sinned with the golden calf, the written Torah, the five books of the Torah would have been shining, would have mamish been shining, would have been so clear to us. Ad shahaya perish ha-mitzvah ha-nirmas b'kosov, kilo ha-yikosov ma-furish, that it would have been to such a degree that the perish, the Torah Shebaal Peh, it would have seemed to us as if it's mamish written, like the person who says, can't you see that? Don't you see that?
Does that mean it was, and then it was changed because of the
faith? It's exactly the same. It's like that now also. Rabbi Nachman gave the example. A person standing by the mountain. Rabbi Nachman, I'm glad you reminded me. Ramesha reminded me that the Rabbi Nachman has a tiny little thing he says in the Torah that I mentioned here once before. That Rabbi Nachman says that you have a guy, he's standing in front of a mountain. He's got a big mountain, and he has a zuz. He has a coin on his nose, and he says, they tell him there's a mountain. He says, oh, yeah, there's no mountain. You can't see the mountain. It's a very deep. What Rabbi Nachman is saying is that the truth is staring at you in the face. It's mamash out. It's right there in front of you. But if you have a zuz, if you have a coin on your nose, meaning if you money or other things of this world that you're more interested in, you don't see the man. So a person who is overly fascinated by physical things, so somebody will tell him, "Don't you see the beauty of Torah?" They'll say, "What? Where?" It's a nice book. Listen, you can go to the coast, you can go to the wall in Yerushalayim, you can look at the wall, and you also don't see the wall. You see it, but you don't see it. Because there's the zuz, or whatever it is that happens to be your, whatever your mishigas happens to be, is blocking you. And the pshat is, the problem is that, I remember I was driving in the car with, one chalamoyda, we were going to one of these torture things. And I was taking the kids to the city, and look, got into me, we went to one of these places. No, I don't know what it was, Empire State, something like that. So we were driving, and I was making it, and you know, the kids hadn't really been in the city. Sometimes I said, I was telling them, look at the size of it. So, at that time, Chumi, we were in the car, and we were driving towards the city, and she said, she looked up at the skyline, and she went like this, and she said, that's only this big, the building. And she saw the building from a distance, and she put her fingers like this, and she said, that building is only this big. So I said, when you get closer, it's much bigger. Yes, she figured, oh, it must be like that. So then when you pull up in this, you go, whoa, what happened? A minute ago I was able to go like this, and I had the whole building. So the pshat is, what Rabbi Nachum is saying is that the reason that you don't see the mountain, and the mountain is so huge, it's because the coin is closer to your heart. He used the marshal of closer to your eyes, but he was saying, when the money is closer to your heart, then you don't see the Rabbi Nachum. When physical things are, because they're close, we live in the physical world. So those things are close to our heart. They're close to our eyes. So in our eyes, this is the biggest thing in the world. If you're 10 minutes late for a meeting, let's say, at work, it's the terrible avla. But if you're 10 minutes late for davening, well, That's because we're further away from davening. So it looks smaller. It looks smaller. But I once gave the example that it struck me. I was once thinking about this, how, you know, how there's a saying from Rabbeinu Tam that this world is upside down. Really, the roots are in the higher world, and these are the branches down here below. Rabbeinu Tam said. That's also a very deep mashal. So I was thinking, you know, how if you look at this world, in this world, Yerushalayim is a speck. There's a tiny little thing, Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, Tzfas, Tveria, they're little specks on the globe. But the way that it works with Yerushalayim and Tveria is as you get to the higher world, so then they begin to become bigger. And when you come to the higher world, Yerushalayim Shalmala is immense. With New York, London, and Paris, it's just the opposite. New York, London, Paris, and this world are huge, and then as you go higher up with spirituality, they become smaller until the Shemayim, it's not even a fleck. It's nothing. When you see things, so by Har Sinai, there was a histakakus, there was a refinement of the spirit, and as a result of that, we were able to look at things and to see in the Torah Shebach Sa, the Torah Shebach. When the Vilna Gaon would learn Torah Shebach Sa, he learned the Torah Shebach Sa. He was Marvis Sedrum, and he would be Marvis Sedrum. He went over the Parsha, the Vilna Gaon, he would be Marvis Sedrum with the whole Torah Shebach Sa. Bavli, Yushami, Sifro, Sifri, Zoyer. He was Marvis Sedrum like that, without it in front of him, just sitting and learning Chumash. That's how he was Marvis Sedrum. And he saw all of it in the Torah Shebach Sa. See, we look at the Medrash, you look at the Medrash on a Pasuk and you say, oh, come on, how'd you get that from there? That doesn't say that. That's our problem. It's not Chazal's problem. When they looked at it, it was screaming at them. They said, that's all there is there. When we looked at it, it says, where'd you see that? Come on, where'd the rabbis get that? Like the kids in school always ask, come on, that's not, I mean, it's a nice idea, but that's not the possible. Well, the rest of us could have gotten it before the Chet Egel. We could see it with our eyes. It was so clear. It wasn't, you see, what the point that the Rebbe's making is that it's not just a question of ga'inus. Now we need ga'inus. But rov chachma, rov kas. Now we need more chachma because we're in a state of rov kas, we're in a fallen state. So we need more chachma to retrieve it. But when there's spiritual. That's right. So there, you see, so what didn't Reb Chaim Shmulevitz say? What did Reb Chaim Shmulevitz say is that the problem is that. They had no achana, and then after Kriyas Yamsuf is a shivcha blayt the shivcha. What happened to those shivchas nach Kriyas Yamsuf? That's the big question. That's what Reb Nachum's referring to. You know, the Chazal say that by when the waters split, so then even a maidservant was able to see visions that were great or as great as the prophet Yechezkel. So, but the Bali Musa say it, but then the difference is that after Yechezkel's vision, he remained Yechezkel, but they remained shivchas. They remained maidservants. And they, you know, maybe they had some memory of something that was really exciting, but they didn't see it anymore. So the point is, it's not that if not for sin, if not for chait, that every Jewish person will be able to perceive things with the eyes of his neshama. And with the eyes of the neshama, it's clear. Chait, because of chait, the neshama can no longer see things, and then we have to rely on our intellect. So the Vilna Gaon had an immense intellect, so he was able to do it. The rest of us were struggling. We were struggling. You remember I told you once, it's a gewaltige meise. I told this to you a while back. There was a meister from you heard of the Sanz Rav, the Rav Chaim. The Sanz Rav was the Goyin Hador. He was the Godel Hador in learning. So he was very close friends with the son of the Mo'orva. You heard of the Tzaddik, the Rebbe, the Mo'orva Shemesh. He had a son. The Mo'orva Shemesh had a son. It was called the Gitta Yid from Neistat. It was the Gitta Yid they called him. He was called the Good Jew, the Gitta Yid. Now it was known that the Gitta Yid was not a Lamdan. Wasn't a Talmud Chacham. I mean, I'm sure you could put this all away. But by the standards of the Talmud Chacham, he wasn't considered to be a Talmud Chacham. They say, in the Svarim says he was Mamish Parshat, like in learning. He didn't know how to learn. They called him the Tehillim Yid, he was also known. He used to say Tehillim, it was probably Yeshua's, he was all kinds of Nisim with his Tehillim. But learning, he wasn't learning. Okay, let me just tell the Maisik, there's 1 second, I'm sorry. So the Maisik was like this. That the, we have an expression by a spagnus akasha famasa. Not from what I, what that means, I say. Once the Sanz Rav was sitting and learning Tosfos. You could imagine the Sanz Rav when he was learning Tosfos. And he couldn't get the Pshat in Tosfos. Harvin, he's going, and I couldn't get Chantos. He couldn't understand what Tosus meant. I mean, he couldn't get to the depth of Tosus. So the tzaddik, the Yida, the Gita Yid, the good Jew, was sitting saying Tehillim in the corner. And the Sanzer went over to him with the Gemara, and he says, do me a favor, he says, tell me, what's the Pshat Tosus? So he looked at him and says, I should tell the Sanzer of Pshat, I can't read Rashi, I can't read Gemara. I don't understand. So the Sanzer says, read Tosus. Tell me a Pshat. So he looks at Tosus, the Gita Yid, and he starts to say, then Tomas, and he starts to read it, but you know, he reads it like he's reading Tehillim with a kretch, with a niggin. And the Sanzer says, that's it! That's the Pshat. In other words, he read it with a certain niggin, when you read a Gemara with a certain, all it needs is a certain little extra kvetch, and he read it in that way, and the Sanzer said, and then he said that's the Pshat, and he had a whole pilpul from that, a 5-hour pilpul from that way that, so the Sanzer said to him, he said, I don't know what all I'm talking, I don't know what I was saying. So the Sanzer said, I would trade my learning for your Taylor. You could disagree with that. I was still, that's the sons are upset to trade the learning for the Tillim. The fact is that he didn't know to say the Pshat and Tosus. It wasn't that he intellectually perceived it. It was his neshama knew it. I mean, Mela, his neshama forced him to read it in a certain way, with a little bit of a niggun. The Maisa Yadua that the Misnagdim are very upset about. But there's strong verification for the story from a number of sources that it's a Maisi Yadua that I told at this year maybe a month or two ago, but I just want to repeat it here to get a feeling for this Inyan, that it's a Maisi Yadua that there was somebody that was that after a person was Nifter, there was a certain very very fine Chassidus Yid that was Nifter. He passed away, and he kept on appearing to his son in dreams by Shiva and after Shiva. He kept on appearing to his son with a crucifix over him, by him, with a crucifix. You can understand the son was terribly, terribly upset. And finally, after having the dream a few times, he went to the Rebbe Reb Zushia. It was said that the Rebbe Reb Zushia was not a Talmud Chacham. So he went to the Rebbe Reb Zushia, and he asked Reb Zushia what he told him the dream. Reb Zushia said, listen, when they buried your father, the twigs, the trees fell down in such a way in that surah of a cross, and open up the dirt over there and take it off the aron, the tree sitting right on top, and then you won't have that dream anymore. Your father's bothered by it, so he's coming to you in a dream. So they dug down, and they found on the thing that's full, a tree mamish like a cross. And they took it away, and then he was fine. Anyway, sometime later, this Jew was in Vilna, and he was by the Gaon, and he went and he told the Vilna Gaon the ma'aseh that happened with the revolution. He wanted to show off, because this person was a Chassidish guy, and he wanted to show off that the Rebbe Zushia said such a thing. So the Rebbe Zushia heard this, and he was very, very impressed. Not with the Ruach HaKodesh, he just said, the Vilna Gaon said, that's, Zushia said that? So he said, yeah, he says, how does Zushia know the Yerushalmi? It seems that there's a Yerushalmi, I don't know where, but there's a Yerushalmi that says that if someone has if it comes in a Cholam, it means there's an Avodah Zarah by the Ara. And I heard that he's not Marit Zushia, how does he know the Yerushalmi? The Gemara was very impressed. It's like an obscure Yerushalmi somewhere. How did he know the Yerushalmi? So the next time that Chassid was back in town, he went to the Rebbe Zushin. He said that I was by the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon, this guy says straight, the Vilna Gaon said, how did Zushin know the Yerushalmi? So Zushin smiled and he said, next time you see the Gaon, tell him that Zushin, he never said himself, he said Zushin. Say, tell him Zushin doesn't know the Yerushalmi, he doesn't know the Bavli. But tell him that Zushin knows where the Yerushalmi got it from. That's where Zushin got it from. I get it from where the Yerushalmi gets it. That tell the Vilna Gaon that. Now, the Vilna Gaon understands the Yerushalmi, but I understand where the Yerushalmi gets his information from.
No,
is that written anywhere? It's not written anywhere. It's not written. It's written by Reb Zushia's heart. It's a different madrega. So Klai Yisrael had such a vision, such a way to see things. But we didn't know where is it written in the Ksav. So he goes on to explain. This is Mamash. What he's going to say now, you'll see, is a principle in understanding Torah Shabbat Peh. So he goes on, he writes, Chachmei HaShas, the Chachmei, I'm sorry, Jonathan, what were you going to say before?
I was going to ask you, if the good Jew did, if he was only, at best, mediocre on learning, why was he acceptable? A good Jew in those days implied already, why was he acceptable to the masses as a...
The tzaddikim of the generation were masking that he was a great holy person that the Jews should go to. They were masking. He had the haskama of all the Gedolei Hador. They all, even big tzaddikim used to go to him, talk to him. So it says Chachmi Hashas, Hayu Oskim Kol Yemeim Limtzo Es Aperish Shabal Pen Nirmuz B'Torah Shabchsav. So what are the Chachmi Hashas? What are the Chachomim doing all the time? What's the Gemara all about? What's the Medrash all about? The Zefra and the Zefri and the Chilta. What's the whole Torah Shabal Pen about? That the Chachomim are trying to see once again where in the Torah Shabchsav is the Torah Shabal Pen hinted. In other words, it's all there. It's all there. The problem is, where is it? And all the avodah of the Chachmi Hashas is to reunite the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh. To show once again how the whole Torah Shebal Peh is in the Torah Shebichsav. V'ho yuma'achdim Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. All of the work of the Chachmi Hashas was to bring about this reunification of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. It's there, in other words, all of the halachas are in the Torah Shebichsav. They're all there. But because of our chatoim, because we've lost that sensitivity, so the chachamim, who were great people of holiness and had great intellects, they spent their lives showing again, finding again the root and the source of every halacha, how it's in Torah Shebichsav. And when that unification takes place, because Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, that's Yudkei and Vavkei, that's Kutcher Brichu and Shechinta, that's everything. Because Torah Shebichsav is Kadosh Baruch, Torah Shebal Peh is the Shechina. And not going into anything more than is necessary, by unifying the Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, that's the same thing as a husband and wife coming together. So mamish, a Yichud Shalom, a Yichud Gomer, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. That's why in our generations, we were so weak in Torah, so we had Gainim that they wrote Svarim to help us. Right? That they helped to show us where in Torah Shebichsav is Torah Shebal Peh. The Meshech Chachma does that. It's beautiful. Meshech Chachma, how he shows it, how halachas in every Kleichem, the Torah Tamima, wrote the Torah Tamima, was written, even though Torah Tamima is not the favorite among the Hasidim, in all honesty, but the Torah Tamima is written for the purpose of showing us, of just quoting all the Gemaras and the Chazals that are connected to that pasuk. Then Rav Kasha made a bigger work, the Torah Shleima, which is an encyclopedic work, the Torah Shleima. They tried to bring the whole Torah Shebal Peh to show you where it's in the Torah Shebichsav. It's an encyclopedic work. But you can never finish. You can never finish because it's Rechav Emini Yom. It's greater than the ocean. It's wider than the ocean. There's no end. There's no end. Because if you would want to make a Torah Shleima really, a real Torah Shleima, an encyclopedia of Torah Shebal Peh, you'd have to include in it any single point that any Talmud Chacham ever made in any little base medrash or anywhere, someplace in the world. Right? Because you know that anything that Kol Ma'aseh Talmud Vaseh Ga'aseh L'Chadash, anything that any student would ever say a Chiddush, Moshe Rabbeinu already had it. So if you'd want to write a real Torah Shleima, you'd have to go around finding out any Chiddush that was ever said in any base medrash, or two Jews talking Friday night over a cup of tea at learning Parashah. You'd have to find it. You'd have to retrieve it. And when Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Torah Shebichsav, he saw all of that. When two people are going to be talking about someplace in Yeshiva on a Mishmah Thursday night, someplace in Slobodka, Moshe Rabbeinu ready. And the truth of the matter is, before he explains, well, let's learn the next little piece, the next little paragraph. Is that Moshe Omar? That he says, this is what I heard from my father, from the Avinezer. Shemishna Torah, Vashemoshmi Pi Atzma Amra, that's the book of Devarim. Since Moshe Rabbeinu said the book of Devarim Pi Atzma, it wasn't Hashem speaking through his mouth anymore. Again, it doesn't mean God, but he made it up. But it was on a level of, as the Svarim say, it was approaching Torah Shebal Peh. Sefer Devarim is the beginning, the first awakening of Torah Shebal Peh. Nirishu, I'm sorry, Ben Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. This is already found in the writings of the Maharal, the first Yisrael. That Sefer Devarim is the, let's put it this way. The first four books of Chumash, the way the Maharal puts it, the first four books of Chumash are completely in the giver's hands, Hashem's hands. When you're giving something to somebody, you're handing over a Sefer to someone, so until the person has touched it, the Sefer is completely in the giver's hands. Sefer Dvarim is when the receiver already is holding it. But it's still like this. but he's holding it in such a way. Therefore, Sefer Devarim is already written with Moshe Rabbeinu speaking as if he's speaking himself. It's from the human perspective. That's why we once spoke about this Maharal. That's why in the Aseret HaDibros of the Book of Devarim, it says, Shabbos, why keep Shabbos? I'm just giving one example. Why keep Shabbos? Because Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim. Right? But what does it say in Yisro? We learned this before. Was it saying Yisro? Keep Shabbos, why? Which is much closer to them than what's in the Book of Yisro, which is in the first four books of Chumash, which is closer to the one who's giving the Torah. It's more from the perspective of Hashem to say, I created the world in 6 days and I rested on Shabbos. So in the Book of Devarim is written from the perspective more of Klal Yisrael. It's the beginning of Torah Shvapa. It's the beginning of mankind's understanding, attempt to understand Hashem's Torah. Therefore, it's no longer written in the same style. It's written more in the style of Moshe Rabbeinu telling Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it also has more Musar in it, more Musar. It's repeating things. It's Mishnah Torah. The whole Devarim can be understood only in that way. And that's why the Yidda Kaddish, the Holy Jew of Peshischa, when he wanted some Musar, so they say that the Jew from Peshischa used to open up the Mun Sefer, used to say Mishnah Torah, used to read the Book of Devarim. Because he said, you can't compare the first four books of Chumash, it's not Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to you, it's not like he's speaking to you in person, but the Sefer Devarim is like Moshe Rabbeinu's mamash talking to you. That's what he says. He says, Shemisha Torah is by Hashem Moshe, mi piat marma nirishu em soy, it's like an intermediary between Torah Shavasav and Torah Shavapet. Kevin she'enim uv delas mora memes mi Yisrael, kamo arpa svarm akodim, because it's not as separate and difficult and separate, it's not as distant to the Jewish people as the first four books of Chumash. Gam nokel yoser limso es hanirmos. And it's also easier to find the hints. It's easier to find the hints in what the psukim are alluding to in Sefer Devarim. There are many, many more drushes of Chazal from Sefer Devarim. Why is that? Olahavim mitok haksav es protei amitzishin estav abal peh, afilu chachmi esosh legila madregis Rabbi Akiva. Why is that? But why is that? The reason is because since Sefer Devarim is the beginning of the explanation of Torah Shavuot, there you have the greatest Rebbe that ever lived, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is no longer just saying Hashem's words, which for us are very difficult since we sinned, we can't have them. Moshe Rabbeinu is beginning to say a Shia. Sefer Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu is beginning to be a Rosh Hashiva. Until now, he was just a tape recorder. Wow. He was saying it. Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu begins to say this to Pshat. And therefore, we can understand more of the Pshat, because Moshe Rabbeinu is beginning to show us, you see, in this pasuk is this. And that's why the drushes of Chazal, that's why Chazal had a much easier time deciphering Sefer Devarim, because it's closer to the Makabel. It's closer to Klal Yisrael, who are Makabli HaTorah. It's a very big Yisod Torah, this teaching. Now really, he brings it here in the footnote, but there's a famous Aruch Haim HaKadosh, it would be Kedai for everybody to take a look at the Aruch Haim HaKadosh in Tazria. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Lamed Tes. Because many times you'll talk to people about Torah Sheva Peh, and it's hard to understand the nature of the oral law unless you've seen this teaching of the Aruch Haim HaKadosh. He says the following. Recently, Yashem Amori Rabbi Seinu Zal, just very quickly, he says, I want to explain the teaching of Chazal. Sha'omu shalahoya davish le'nimtsu le'moyshe b'sinai v'afilu mashe talmud vasek osu l'chadish. On the one hand, Chazal say that every single thing that any student would ever say in Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu already was taught. He already knew. Va'omru b'mokum acher, and however there are other places that say, Rabbi Kiva hoya davish mashe lo yada moyshe ka'omra advarm ka'omra had advarm asisim as le'nem yu'in shamed v'ayim, the Gemara Menachos. On the other hand, the famous Chazal in the Midrash, but it's the main places in the Gemara and Menachos and Chavtaz, where Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even know what Rabbi Akiva knew. That he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu was, and Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a chalitza to ask because he went. Hashem showed him the future. Rabbi Akiva sang a shiur, and Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in the back, was put into the back row, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva was talking about halacha, and he asked where's this halacha from, and Moshe Rabbeinu himself didn't know, and he had a chalitza to ask. In other words, he saw that this means there's a separation between Torah Shavu'ot and Torah Shavu'ot Peh, which means that there's no unification and God's name is drifting off somewhere in the universe. So Rabbi Akiva said, "This halacha Moshe Mesinai." He says, "This was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu and Hasin." Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, this was taught to me and Hasin." So that's one of the most difficult gemaras in the whole Shas. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu knew it. How come he didn't know it? And if it was a law that was taught to Moshe and Sinai, how come he didn't know it? What's happening over here? And how did this work out with the Maimon Chazal, with all the Chazals that say that Moshe Rabbeinu that Moshe Rabbeinu knew anything that would ever be taught in Torah. How come he didn't know what Rabbi Kiva was taught? And that was what, and that's halacha Moshe Messina. The nira ki yishuv amara mahu. The meaning of it is as follows. Ki hein emes shakol dvar Torah nemel Moshe. Everything was told to Moshe. It's true. The ein chachim yochel adat yoisim ashi yodam Moshe. There can never be a time of chachim who will know more than Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you would take all the Jews, all the Talmid Chacham from the time the Torah was given until the time Mashiach comes, there will not be a new idea that Moshe did not know. Avo, listen, ha'hefrish hu, ki Moshe nosen lo Hashem Torah shebichsar v'Torah shebal peh. Moshe Rabbeinu received the written Torah and the oral Torah. Hashem in His infinite wisdom encoded and wrote into the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, all of the Torah Shebal Peh. But Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu how all the Torah Shebal Peh is hinted at in every single pasuk of Torah Shebichsav. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to put on film, he knew how to write a get, he knew Kiddushin, he knew Tidgit in the Kiddushin, he knew all the halachas, he knew Shechita, he knew Yerdei, he knew the whole Shulchan Aruch. But if you asked him, where do you see Shechita, he didn't know that it was in the pasuk Hashem Tzvitzicha. Or because of the Sefer Krisis, and how do you learn out from there that there are 12 shuras in the get? He didn't see the yichud of the Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh. But Hashem gave it as the work of all the Jewish people throughout history. So even to us sitting and learning in a Bais Medrash, sitting in the yeshiva trying to learn Torah a little bit, that we should try to understand the remozim of Torah Shebal Peh, how the entire oral Torah is really there in the Torah Shebichsav. And by doing that, we're being miyachet shem yudkei vavavkei, we're mamish making, every time you come up with a chiddush, anytime you come up with a novel idea of Torah, it's something Moshe Rabbeinu already knew, but he didn't know it, how it's in Torah Shebichsav. And by you showing it, by learning Pshat and Pasuk that way, you're bringing about this great unification of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. And he writes, V'zuhi avodas b'nei Yisrael amolei Torah. This is the work, Yerach Chaim HaKadosh says, of the Jewish people who are toiling over Torah. To find all of the pshat, remes, drush, and sod, all of the halachas, all of the kabbalah, everything that Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and to see it in Torah Shebichsav that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't see. Well, is that timsa bo atanoim the Chibru Torah Kahanim, the Sifri, and they put together midrashim, they composed the midrashim and so on. The chol drashos miksuvim einim ella al pi halachas. All there was doresh. Doresh also means to seek. A drasha means to seek, to look for something. Right? Sion ain doresh lo. Sion, I mean doresh means to look for something. The chachamim were seekers of the Torah Shebal Peh. They had certain huge, vast amount of information. But where is it, and what is it, and what's the root and source of this? The chsiv, Menohanimili. From where did they receive this? Mimai. And so on. Where does it come from? And that's how they learned the Mishnah. They learned the Mishnah the same way. If they saw the Mishnah from Rabbi, then what did the Amorayim do? How do you see this in the Mishnah? We understand we have a halacha. But where is it in the, how do you see this in the Mishnah? And not only that, maybe we'll talk about the same thing of Shulis and Mitzvah. Not only that, but all the secrets of Kabbalah, all the secrets of science. In other words, not only Torah Shebal Peh, any chiddush that Einstein said, or that any chiddush that any scientist would ever say, is all in Torah Shebal Peh. All Razei Olam, all secrets of the world, all science, all myth, all history. So now they use the computers and they already see. On a very simple level, they're beginning to see. So people used to make fun. When you look at the Kabbalah Svarim, it speaks about how Hashem made the world Yesh Me'ain, and He made it with there's an or, a light, and Hashem created the world, and you read in Chassidus Svarim Kabbalah Svarim about the Ur, you say, what is this Ur? So now we're ready, after we have a little bit more understanding of quantum physics, and we have an understanding that all that is physical is comprised of energy that you can't see, you can't touch, right? There's energy, all physical matter, and after Einstein we already understand that everything is moving in this state from Yesh to Ayin, from Ayin to Yesh. All of reality is Yesh mi Ayin, is Ayin mi Yesh. When you look at something, when you look at a table, what we see is a table, we don't see, that really, this table is not really, Behemoth and Pneumius, there are millions and billions of electrons and protons and neutrons, and it's not even something that's solid. It's just that the way that, on the molecular level, the way that the molecules are moving and so on and so forth, which I don't want to go into right now, and I don't know enough to talk about. But the point is, that's all, that we see that when all the Kabbalists are talking about or about light, so finally, at the beginning of the 20th century, Einstein was talking, and all of a sudden the Gansevelt lit up and said, ooh, interesting. In other words, what we're looking at, that's not the whole thing. That's not the whole thing. It's all in Tarshish of Sa'at. Yeah. Yeah, because the Ha'amoke, the Lashem says, because the Ha'amoke, meaning going deeper and deeper, what it's doing is it's intensifying somewhere there's a connection to Tarshish of Sa'at, which is that Haggadah, right? You're not seeking that now for the last 25 blocks, right? But what he says, the Lashem, is that, but it's a ha'amok in the relationship. In other words, it's like intensifying. It's that the chasna kala had a chasna, and now every good word is a way of intensifying the chibur and the kesher between the chasna kala. So all of our diburim in Tarei Sheval Peh, when you're learning Tarei Sheval Peh, you're miyachid all the islands. You're causing, with the initial drasha, there's a yichud. And then when you're learning and going through Tosis and Maharsha, and you're learning Pshat, you're learning Reb Chai, and you're learning Reb Shimon. So when you're learning, you're intensifying. That's why you have the Maimer of the Zohar, where the Zohar says, it really you have in the Medrash Rabbah too, but it's not in such a beautiful way. But the teaching of Chazal is that the relationship is that when you get to know the Torah more, it's like when a Chasna Kal know each other more, they tell each other more of their personal secrets. So if you're, the more of a tzaddik you are, the more refined you are, the more you're learning, the more the Torah Shabbat says, I'm going to show you a little bit something more. I'm going to galat you more secrets. It says it in a little bit more of an explicit way, but I don't want to talk about it. But it says it, in other words, the Torah reveals secrets to the person who is dairish, the secrets. The Torah Shabbat says, and then you say, oh, that's what it's like. And that's what happens. If you learn a beautiful pshat, you learn a rabbi, you learn, ooh, that's what it means. Reb Chaim was intimately close to the Baruch Shalom and the Baruch Shalom's Torah, and he shared with us his revelation, his understanding. That now when we look at it, we say, how is it possible I didn't see that? How is it possible I didn't see that? And I used to wonder, when I used to read these books, I used to wonder how, by their estimation, I'm saying that in the secular world, how it took man like a couple million years to figure out to make a wheel. And I used to think about that when I was a kid. I remember, I used to think about that, like Flintstone time. There they already had wheels, as you recall. But I used to think about how, like, what kind of moron can't figure out a wheel? You have to be an idiot. What, like, instead they're like pushing things, like, just roll it down, roll it. Why can't you figure that out? You know how it is when you see something afterwards and you say, it's a double push. But there had to be someone to take away the stone from the bear. Isaac Newton was a big person. It was an amazing thing, what he did. So I said, what's the big deal? He looked, he saw the light in the prism. So what? I see that all the time. You see it all the time, but you don't notice. The godless of Newton was that he noticed. And he looked, and he saw. And he took the stone off the bear. That's what the Racham Kodesh is explaining. That's what Tarshish Vav Peh is. V'yaz bishum Tarshish Hashem t'mim shabachsav v'achareyim v'ad hayom. Zuhi avodas hakodesh b'nei Torah l'dayik hamikros liyashm al piyam amorim shem Torah shabal peh. Zuhi avodas hakodesh nikus eretz hashem. And that's, he says, that's what Dorish Rabbi Akiva drosh shalo yod ha-moshe. Ein ha-kevonu shalo yod ha-moshe ikarin shal dvarim chalil. It doesn't mean Moshe didn't know how to shep, didn't know how to make a, didn't know how to write a ksub or something. It doesn't mean Moshe didn't know the halacha. Halom yimenu hakol. Afilu mashu tamo vazila. So, it's a very important here. It's a very, very important Arachanic Kodesh. Yud Gimel Kazriyah. Vayikra Yud Gimel Lamed Tes Mosuk Midrash. It's kedai to look the chazir over and to teach it over to the mishpacha.
So how does it explain that last part?
Rabbi Kiva. No, so Rabbi Kiva, he was going to darshening the ksuba. He was Torah Shavuot Peh, darshening the ksuba. In other words, he was. You're right. So then he says, "Alocha Moshe Misin." Moshe says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem." Alocha Moshe Misin. In other words, it's Torah Shavuot Sav and Torah Shavuot Peh, what I know half, one of the same. It's all there. I didn't know the Ramas. I didn't know how it's in the, how it's found in my Torah. It's my Torah. And all those, I knew the halacha. I know the halacha, how you shef. I didn't know, but where do you see it? So then the Siyash Vedaita, that the Chasna Kala still together after all these years. Now, Nelik with Shabbos. Look at the Avni Nezis. Now look what he says with Shabbos. Half of it. Look with Shabbos. The Yeish Loimer. Shekzaz Mizehu Bechol Shabbos. A little of this happens, he says, every Shabbos. So you think Shabbos? So the Rebbes, they connected everything to Shabbos. Why? Shabbos. Shabbos is every Jew is Shomer Shabbos. His neshama is speaking more. He sees more. He's more refined. He's a little bit before the Chet Ha'egel. It's a little bit. He's not as much of a Chet Ha'egel dicker person. He's more removed from sin. He has more of clarity. Shabbos. Neshama Yisrael. The blind is a little bit off, that's right. It's in the Shom Yisrael, isn't it in the Shom Yisrael? Mizeh She'isa, Shabbos Yasa Kula Torah. And that's the opinion that's found in the Chazal. That Shabbos Yasa Kula Torah, Shabbos should be concluded. It's an opinion that says, Baruch Hashem, we don't pass in this way. When I say Baruch Hashem, I mean because I'm Alma Draga. That Shabbos should be without eating, without, should be just Kula Torah. Just Torah. So Shabbos must, right, get a lot of people out of Parnassa, right? So Shabbos, yeah. So Shabbos Mesugal, yeah. So all right. I'm going to say we wouldn't have been as a long time even till then. So Shabbos Mesugal Lefkoach Einayim Ivrus LaHargish Kavonis HaTorah. Shabbos has the power to open up eyes that were blind and to understand. Oh, this is what the Torah means. That's why in Shabbos there's a listikite to learn Torah. That's what the tzaddikim stay up the whole night, Friday night. And those who are not tzaddikim, they fall asleep on the soup. The Friday night, I mean, I shouldn't say not tzaddikim, they're tired tzaddikim. They're sleepy tzaddikim. But the truth is, that if we would understand what Shabbos is, we would stay up Friday night and learn. Try to get to sleep early Thursday night, stay up Friday night. I was always correcting the yeshivas, they made Mishnah Thursday night, so guys stay up Thursday night. They're eating and all the other things that are going. They get through the morning, and then Friday they sleep half the day. They go a little bit shopping, come back Friday night, after Zemir's or during Zemir's, we get Shlufim again, they finish. So just the opposite. Better Thursday night, go to sleep 10 o'clock. Stay Friday night till the morning. Stay the whole Friday night to learn. Because Friday night you have a special, it's lichtig. The eyes can see. And that's what we spoke about last week at the end. Ru'u k'yashem noslachem t'ra. Ru'u k'yashem noslachem t'ra. See. Beautiful idea. That's hinted at in the Shabbos canvas. That things are lit up on Shabbos. Things are shining on Shabbos. The Zelshib is Mir is Nazam Lahashta Pepsara Khadata Manata Tafta. We say in the Skin Sados of Ariya Kodesh that we prepare a new candle, a new light, a new menorah, right? To be able to see things in a new way. Then a haral ration, there's a candle, a menorah that's lit, that's shining over the head of every Jew. And look at the last sentence, how beautiful. Just a one liner. And maybe, we have, that's why there's a special mitzvah, that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is to read the Torah, the whole parasha to read on Shabbos, because it's an Andra parasha. But you see Shabbos, when you read the Torah on Shabbos, the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos is not the same parasha, it's not the same way that you would read it during the week. Mela, you understand that when you have the Machlokes Chazal, whether by Yontiv, Shabbos Yom Tov, is Kula Torah, is Chatzi Lachem, Chatzi Lachem, you remember, so we pass in Yontiv, it should be what? What's the din by Yontiv? Half is for Hashem, meaning Torah and Tefillah, and half is eating and so on, and Einig Shabbos, Einig Yontiv. But there's a Machlokes by Yoli Yom Tov. What's the one exception where there's no Machlokes? Who knows? Shavuot. Chazal say by Shavuot, the Ba'atzeres, everybody agrees, the Ba'inin Amilachem. that by Shavuos everybody agrees, that what? That you have, for sure you have to eat on Shavuos. No, in other words, even the opinion of Chazal, even the opinion that holds that what? That Yontif should be just learning, Sukkot Pesach should be just learning, agrees that Shavuos Medafes. Shavuos you have to eat. So of course, all the Mefarshim are asking,
should be the other way around?
Shavuos is Kabbalah Satira. Well, the other Yom Tov, the Baruch Shem was Mahana the Guf. We had Hana. So you say, okay, so I should have Hana Saguf. I should enjoy myself physically. Shavuos is Tyra. And it's Tyra Shavuos. And Shavuos is Kabbalah Satira. So you think, if anything, Shavuos should be called a Tyra. So that's the thing that said, Boi Nami Lachem means that it means you should take the Lachem, the eating, and should make it into Nami. Like, Nacha Azach. No, it's not so kosher. Nami. Boi Nami. Make Lachem into Nami. Like, it's not such a big deal. No, but why is that? Why is that? So based upon what the Shem Yishmul is saying in Avinezer, it's beautiful. The pshat is that Davka, because it's the day of Kavod Zatorah, when we stood at Har Sinai, and we had that clarity before the Chet Egel, Shuas is Kavod Zatorah, therefore we're able to see how in every single physical thing there are soidis and ramazim, in other words, in eating itself, there's such holiness. Everybody agrees that in Shuas, but in Amalekham, that Shuas you have to, in other words, everybody agrees that in Shuas, the Jewish people are so refined because of Kabbalah that they have the koach to be in the physical world and to see the ruchniyus that's hinted in everything that's physical. Because it's the day of Kabbalah Satorah. It's the day of Kabbalah Satorah. So there's that clarity. There's that clarity of how there's the chibur of the Yudkei and the Vavkei, the spiritual of Shemaim and Aris. Because that's the day when Shemaim and Aris were unified. Which means Torah Shabbat Sav and Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Sav is Shemayim, Torah Shabbat Peh is Aretz. And in eating and drinking, learning and davening is Shemayim. Torah Shabbat Sav, learning and davening. Eating and drinking, the physical acts, Torah Shabbat Peh. It's Torah Shabbat Peh. That's Aretz, that's the physical world. Eating and drinking. On Shavuos is the day when the Elyonim and the Sachtonim met, when the higher world and the lower world met, on Shavuos, the Mela, there's a yichud of Yud Kei and Vav Kei in such a powerful way, of Shemayim and Aretz, that a Jewish person has the koach to eat and to drink, but it should be mamish l'shem Shemayim. It should be l'shem Shemayim. It should be the way that it's supposed to be. That's why, perhaps, that it's b'in anam l'lacham. But every Shabbos in a certain madrig it happens. That's why on Shabbos, when Tzadikim would learn Sisrei Torah, would learn Kabbalah, would learn deeper in Yonim and Torah on Shabbos Friday night. I told some of the chevra walking home the other day, I said that when I was in HSL, I got some musaf from a taxi driver a couple of years ago. The taxi driver said, he was asking me, you're America. First he says, why don't you come here? You know, one of these discussions, why don't you all move here? So I said, I can't. And he says, yeah, if you move here anyway, then it wouldn't be good because then you can take all of our rights. You know, I had one of these crazy thoughts with the guy. Like, he's telling me, come here, but I don't want you here. You know, it was like one of these shock of the tires. I couldn't figure out what to tell the guy to make him happy. So then he says to me, he's talking in Torah the whole time. He's doing a little Yomkin in Torah the whole time. And I'm enjoying the conversation. When we stopped the car, we were schmoozing for a long time afterwards. He turned the meter off. I mean, I told him to. So we're talking for a long time. And he said to me, what his schedule and shul is on Shabbos. The Swadesh guy, he said to me, Shabbos, I told you this, didn't I tell you this? He said, Shabbos, they come home, they eat. Shabbos when they come home to eat, they go back at 12:30 to Beit HaKnesset. And so then what? He said, Shiurim Lomdim Ad Mincha. Straight, from 12:30 in the afternoon. If someone would tell this to me, I think I wouldn't want to be Jewish. No, not to have a little time to... No? He says, straight after they eat. And remember, they don't have Sunday off either. Straight from the time that they eat, till whether it's Shabbos over 5 or at 9. I asked them. They learn. Straight. The whole chevra comes. And they learn. So he said that he invited me for Shabbos to come to stay. And I said, I can't stay. I'm not staying in Israel Shabbos. I have to go back. I wasn't there for Shabbos. He started to say to me, hey, you're American. You can't. He says, why can't you stay? I said, I can't stay. I left my wife and family and have. So he says, no, wife. You can't stay. Like, no, because that's why you people can't be good Jews. You're like, you're too worried about everything. You're too worried about the world. He says, Ma, Isha, Yiladim. So I asked him, what about the family? He says, Ma'esh. Yesh Isha, Yesh Ladim. Bye-bye. Everybody's home. And you look, Lebet HaMadash. I go to learn. You know, try to get away with that over here. You get away with that. You talk about a Chasam and Kala. You get a Shmuz about a Chasam and Kala. Look, but you see, Shabbos really kula tayr? It's a constant tayr. Shabbos. We have an extra call to learn on Shabbos. We should take advantage of it. Okay, so. Huh? Listen to me.